So what's with President Trump and Ukraine? We want to back up for a few minutes and look at that aspect of last week's hearings. The military aid at the center of the impeachment inquiry was vetted and authorized by Congress and the Department of Defense to help Ukraine's new democratic leader fight Russia on the border. No talk of corruption. President Trump withheld that aid, Democrats say, because Joe Biden entered the race and Trump wanted to pressure Ukraine to dig up dirt on Biden. But President Trump hated Ukraine from the beginning of his presidency, according to top advisors, said it wasn't a real country. When advisors met with him last May, 2 months before that now infamous July phone call to Ukraine's new president, President Trump railed that they, the Ukrainians, tried to take me down. Greg Jaffe, national security reporter for The Washington Post, wrote with Josh Dossi about the president's loathing for Ukraine. That's the piece's title. Greg Jaffe, welcome.
Thank you.
So we know Ukraine is part of the former Soviet Republic. It broke away after the Berlin Wall fell. Russia's been trying to get Ukraine back ever since, installing Russian-backed leaders, seizing back Crimea. There are sanctions against Putin because of that. You write about advisors early on in the Trump administration trying to figure out why Trump just hated Ukraine. That's the word they used with you. Were his pro-Russia sentiments part of his loathing back then when his administration first began?
You know, I think it's really difficult to tease out these grievances, and that's part of the trouble that the aides had. I think some of it dates to the 2016 election. The president really does believe that the Ukrainians were out to get him in 2016. And so that, I think that's the root of his grievances. But I think it's also been reinforced by conversations with people like Vladimir Putin, who has it out for the Ukrainians, and Viktor Orban, the kind of populist leader of Hungary, who also is mired in a kind of dispute with the Ukrainians.
Yeah. Well, and you report that Trump's advisors, you know, in debating, you know, why does he hate Ukraine? Many of them argued that he saw Ukraine as an impediment to better U.S. relations with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who had, you know, been under sanctions because of his annexation of Crimea. But you mentioned the election. As we learned from Fiona Hill and testimony in the impeachment inquiry, Russians very much wanted President Trump to think that Ukraine interfered in the election and not them.
Yeah, it was a way of sort of deflecting blame from what they had done. Look, you know, it was really the Ukrainians who did it. As far as we can tell, there's no truth to that statement, but it does seem to have lodged in the president's mind, in part, I think, because he was primed to believe it. He had these other grievances dating to 2016 with the Ukrainians. And as you note, he did have a desire to have better relations with Putin. And early on in the administration, the sanctions on Russia because of its actions in Ukraine were seen as the prime barrier to that better relationship.
Yeah. Well, and talk about some of these theories. Again, fictional narratives that we're reading and reporting and hearing from Fiona Hill and others. Russians actively tried to float these conspiracy theories to lawmakers, to newsmakers, to right-wing broadcasters here in the U.S. in the hopes of getting them to President Trump. They include this – Jonah Goldberg, the conservative writer this morning on Morning Edition, called it this bat guana conspiracy theory that this company CrowdStrike somehow had something to do with hacking the DNC servers. Now, CrowdStrike is not a Ukrainian company, as the president says. There is not a server in Ukraine. There were hundreds of servers that were hacked. These are complete fabrications, and yet the president is still talking about them. Let's listen.
They gave the server to CrowdStrike, or whatever it's called, which is a company owned by a very wealthy Ukrainian. And I still want to see that server. You know, the FBI has never gotten that server. That's a big part of this whole thing. Why did they give it to a Ukrainian company?
Are you sure they did that? Are you sure they gave it to Ukraine?
Well, that's what the word is, and that's what I asked actually in my phone call, if you know.
Right.
I mean, I asked it very point blank because we're looking for corruption.
I have to say that that question from Steve Doocy, a Fox & Friends host, is the first time I've ever heard any skepticism from a Fox morning host when the president makes this claim. You know, are you sure? He says, well, that's what the word is. But as we said, you know, CrowdStrike is not a Ukrainian company. There isn't just one server. There's no server in Ukraine. All of that has been debunked. All of that planted and floated by the Russians. Just how striking is that, that the president wouldn't know about the recent history of Ukraine, that it has, in fact, been fighting corruption?
What's striking and what I don't know is whether this is sort of a somewhat cynical ploy on the part of the president to just kind of create disinformation, to sort of create chaos, to deflect from his own problems here and to muddy up the narrative, or whether he really believes this and, as you note, is just really ignorant about what's going on in Ukraine. I think it's worth noting that his delegation comes back from the inauguration of Zelensky in May, very positive on him, that if you talk to the experts, this does really look like a president who's trying to turn the corner with corruption. Yeah. That said, it's really complicated. It's untangling all these sort of criminal and corrupt networks. This is a difficult challenge for Zelensky.
It's Russian nesting dolls is what it is. And as we've said, as we talked with Greg Jaffe of The Washington Post, this goes back to the beginning of the Trump administration. That brings us to Paul Manafort. This is the Trump campaign chair who was also the lobbyist for the Russian-backed President Yanukovych. This was two presidents ago in Ukraine. Yanukovych was overthrown by the people in 2014. Paul Manafort is now in jail in part because of charges that he took bribes from that Russian-backed president. How much is that also propelling, you know, President Trump's hatred of Ukraine since he came into office?
I think that's a big part of it. You know, it's with Trump, everything seems to go back to 2016. He's had a hard time moving beyond that. And this seems to be a case of it. You know, to a certain extent, he's decided that anyone who was against him in 2016 is still against him today. And the world is divided into two halves. There are Hillary people and then there are Trump people. And I think in his mind, the Ukrainians are forever Hillary people.
Well, staying with Paul Manafort, again, who went from being a lobbyist for this Russian-backed Ukrainian president two presidents ago when there was quite a bit of corruption in Ukraine to being Trump's campaign chair. We remember it seemed so odd that suddenly he was trying to force planks about Ukraine onto the Republican platform. That seemed odd at the time. But his going to jail and being tied to Ukraine for President Trump, this is another slap again at his election. This is his campaign chair. He blames Ukraine for that.
Yeah, I think it's all about sort of the legitimacy of Trump's presidency. He sees this as an attack on the legitimacy of his presidency. It's also worth noting that some of the Ukrainian blowback in 2016 comes because of statements coming from Trump and Manafort at the time, suggesting, you know, that, well, maybe Crimea was really part of Russia, that it hadn't been sort of taken forcibly from Ukraine. And understandably, that really upsets the Ukrainians who view that as part of their country that was stolen illegally from them.
Which might be why a Ukrainian official wrote an op-ed negative about Donald Trump. But we heard over the course of the hearings, we heard different Republican lawmakers throw out the little black ledger in expressing thoughts about Ukraine. Was that referring to the ledger that was found that showed the payments to Paul Manafort?
Yeah, exactly right, that were critical in Manafort being convicted and being sent to jail right now. And the Ukrainians did have reason to want to share that with the press. I mean, I think they saw Manafort as somebody who was participated in the destruction of their country, and they were somewhat justifiably angry at him.
Well, and he was participating in corruption, you know, the very thing that Ukraine is now being asked to root out. What's your sense of how this goes forward? We heard from so many diplomats, nonpartisan diplomats over the last 2 weeks, saying that the reason that they were going along with some of President Trump's requests is that they felt if they could just get President Zelensky of Ukraine in front of President Trump, they could overcome some of this loathing because of not wanting to upset Russia, loathing because of his feeling that Ukraine didn't like his election as president, that they could overcome that. What do you think endgame is here?
You know, it's hard to tell. I mean, I think this was sort of Gordon Sondland and Kurt Volker, the special envoy's view of it, that Zelensky, he's an actor and a comedian before he went into politics. He's a charming guy whose story is in some ways similar to Trump, who came out of television as well, and that they thought these two guys would really hit it off. You just get the two of them together and they'll overcome all these problems. I think Trump's grievances towards Ukraine are so deep-seated that was a little bit of a naive play. At this point, though, my gut is that we sort of fall back, at least in terms of Ukraine policy, to sort of status quo, that, you know, I think the president's in a position where he has to show them some support. Otherwise, he's playing it right into his critics' hands that he's pro-Russian, that this was corrupt from the very beginning, all that sort of stuff.
Well, and you quote Molly Montgomery, who worked on Vice President Pence's staff before leaving, saying that most of us and Americans wanted to support Ukraine. It's a little guy fighting for values we consider American. But Trump doesn't share that. He's more attracted generally to the powerful party in any dispute. And in this case, that would be Russia.
Yeah, there's a really compelling part in Ambassador Yovanovitch's closed testimony where she kind of almost chokes up or breaks down. And she doesn't choke up or break down notably because she's been talking about being removed from Ukraine. She chokes up because she's worried that the policy is so messed up and that we won't do right by the Ukrainians and right by our own national security interests. Mm-hmm. And I found that really compelling. It shows how deeply some of these officials cared about the Ukrainian struggle and felt like their struggle was tied to our national security.
How did this happen? She said. We read your article and we know better. Greg Jaffe, national security reporter for The Washington Post. We'll link you at herenow.org. Greg, thank you.
Thanks very much.
So, a president who hates a country that should be our ally based on conspiracy theories ginned up by what should be our enemy and perceived personal slights. Thoughts welcome. herenow.org.